This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Just consistently. They should take one.
Thinking of the draft, another mock draft sounder here on Cody and Gold. Drew, where are we going this time?
We're going to the Athletic. This is not Dane Brugler. Not
yet, I trust Dane Brugler, a reliable... Well-thought draft expert.
When Dane Brugler comes out with a mock, we will be reacting to that. But Ben Standig is the one who came up with this one. It's just one round. They have some trades, but the Chiefs are not involved in a trade this time around, Gold.
Thank you. He's not anti-trade, Ben. I mean, trades do happen, so.
Sure. Correct. This one's not egregious, though. I think Chad had four or five of them in the first round. This is just one or two. But anyways, with the 31st pick, he has the Chiefs taking Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State. So he's right in his this is a guy that could go in the teens, was mocked in the teens early on, got injured during the season, but he's a guy that has the talent to be up, had the talent to be up in the teens. Here's his description, if you don't mind. Everyone saw the Eagles pass rushers demolish KC's O-line in the Super Bowl. Simmons had top 15 potential before a left knee injury cost him 10 games in 24. The three-year starter for Ohio State would challenge Jalen Moore on the left side, join the battle to replace left guard Joe Tooney, or prep for the future while working as a needed swing tackle.
So, Josh Simmons, his comp, according to our guy over at NFL Network, Lance Zierlein. You guys will enjoy this comp. Boy. This is a good comp.
Okay.
We can relate to it.
Is it going
to
be Orlando Brown Jr.?
No, close, though. You're close. You're on the right track.
Not Juwan Taylor, is it?
DJ Humphreys.
He was a Pro Bowler.
And if that's the career he has, that's great. That would be great. But just funny because we, of course, had the conversation about DJ Humphreys for months. That's the comp. DJ Humphreys. There's no good strengths or weaknesses from a line perspective. It just says he is, though. This is true. He's coming off a season-ending knee injury for Ohio State. So that's a little concerning for Josh Simmons. You're getting a guy that's coming off a knee.
I guess you don't need him to play day one, though.
If you were healthy, he would go in the top 15, probably.
Wait, though, you know, I got to say.
No.
I just think it's one of the biggest draft lies. I had to hear that about, like, Aaron Murray back in the day. It's like, you know, if he had that ACL injury, he'd have been a second-round pick. I'm like, now he's a sixth? Nah, that's not how it works. works. If a quarterback and some of these positions,
Trey Smith fell. He would have been a second or third rounder.
Major cardiac thing, not a traditional NFL injury.
Him and Will Campbell were the top two tackles in the class, and Campbell's going to get taken in the top 10 probably still. I think he would have been, if he was healthy, to start.
It goes on to say, very smooth getting out of his stance and into space. Rapid fire, foot quickness gives him the ability to capture cutoff positioning.
I will say, every single mock draft Drew keeps sending our way, and I don't look at him until he gives us the mock draft sounder. Once those play, Membo from Missouri is going in the top 10.
A great combine. He might be picked ahead of Campbell now. Yeah,
he is going in every single, and he's a right tackle, but he's going in every single mock draft in the top 10 now.
Had an unbelievable combine.
And Luther Burden is hit or miss on if he's even in the first round.
Correct.
Like, and some people have him like 12, and some people have him like 40. And I don't understand. So, like, for Missouri guys, I got no sense of it. Here's the problem. Just 2 years ago, or, 2 years ago, they took FAU, and he was a project player in the first round. It's a little soon. Be taking the project player in the first round again. They've done a pretty good job finding valuable starters.
If he's best player available, I guess.
I know.
At the time. We don't know if that'll be the case.
Two out of 3 years, we're gonna take project players in the first round? Because that's what he is. Like, could compete for the job at left guard or at left tackle. And look, it's not like I've never viewed it as a bad thing. Let's just say they signed him and they were immediately like, this guy's way better than Moore. That to me is not a bad thing. You didn't tie up so much money in Moore that it's bad.
Sure.
That the guy you took at the end of the first round, you're like, damn, that's our starting left tackle. Ooh, boy. Okay, cool. That's fine. No complaints here. That's cool. But that seems like the longest a long shot, knowing the Chiefs' history. I don't know why everyone thinks they're taking an offensive lineman. I'm convinced they're taking an offensive lineman.
So yesterday I was on social, and BetMGM Network put out a clip. It's Odyssey's betting network. And one of their hosts, Ryan Horvat, was talking about the Chiefs draft.
I've been on his show.
Yeah, Ryan's a good dude. And he was talking about the Chiefs draft and some of the odds, and you can bet on what position is going to go in the first round, right? And he was making his case why he thought offensive line was the best bet. It was like minus 105 or minus 110. So that means there's some other positions that are plus money, like wide receiver or corner or defensive line. And he said he thinks that's the best bet, is the Chiefs to take an offensive lineman. And I listened to his reasoning, and he listed off the depth chart for the team and who the projected starters are. And he said, you know, Creed Humphrey at center and Trey Smith at right guard and Juwan Taylor at right tackle. And then he said, you know, they brought in Jalen Moore at left tackle. And then he said at left guard is, you know, Mike Caliendo. And I was like, see, that's the confusion outside of Casey. I'm not saying they won't draft a tackle or an offensive lineman, but
no, they might.
I wouldn't bet on it, I guess, is what I'm saying. Didn't even mention that, Kingsley, their first round pick last year, is likely to be competing, if not, you know, given that left guard spot.
So they have two people who could play left guard for them this year.
Yeah, and so I think people are looking at that and assuming they're going to take an offensive lineman because they know how bad. This is what every offseason discussion, and the Chiefs will have to prove people. It's weird. For a team that won 15 games, they will have to prove people wrong again early on next season. I kind of already like how it's being built up because people are writing them off because of how awful the Super Bowl was, and they clearly got their ass kicked. We have gone way overboard, I think, nationally in particular, on acting like that was the entire team the whole year. And that is where this organization is at, and there's no getting out of it. And I think that is a massive overreaction.
I don't know
if they get back to the Super Bowl or not. I don't think they win 15 games. I'm not saying any of that. But
it didn't hold them back from accomplishing a lot.
That was not who the team was the entire season. Yes, O-line was a problem all year, but that was not the team all year. They wouldn't have made it to the Super Bowl if that was the team all year. And so I think people are assuming that, like, the offensive line, as bad as it was not the worst offensive line in football. And people are talking as if, oh my gosh, that same offensive line that was the worst in football, and that what we saw in the Super Bowl is what they were all year. No, that was not what they were all year. They have question marks there. And so
they had one of the best offensive lines, I think, in football in terms of pass and run win rate.
This is going to be the offseason narrative, and the Chiefs through the month of September are going to have an opportunity, and this will be fun, to prove to people again, oh yeah, whoops, we already wrote them off. What a mistake we made. I can promise you that's going to be some of the talking points that we will discuss in September. And we're seeing it from the national media already that they think that that's what the team just now is. And I think it's a mistake.
I do really think, though, that if let's say they don't take a guard, let's say they don't do offensive line to like the third round. If Kingsley stinks and it's a big problem, then we're going to look back on this and say they absolutely should have taken one again. It's They absolutely should have taken one.
They're going to take an offensive lineman. But the guys we're talking about are all projects. Unless Kingsley, because I'll say, if they take a guard in the first round, then they are done with Kingsley. They might as well cut his ass.
The guy yesterday,
they might as well kick him off
at
the roster.
Donovan Jackson, he could be very, very good, but he's a guard. Do you take a guard in the first round?
I would not.
Just in general. Or do you, because if you take him.
I need one to start tomorrow, yeah, sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying is if you take him, if they take Donovan Jackson, who's the guard from Ohio State, he's going to start ahead of, he's going to be the guy ahead of Kingsley who's going to get every single shot because he's a first round pick. Mm-hmm. If they wait and they take guard later,
it's just normal competition. That's fine.
I know, but is it worth having a third rounder and a guy that failed at left tackle competing for a guard jump?
Yes. That's a normal guard competition.
Fun.
That's what the Chiefs had at guard.
I know what I'm saying. If it fails and we're once again having this conversation 5 months from now of, holy crap, the offensive line looks really
bad.
The left side looks really bad.
Defense, though, right? I mean, we're having a similar conversation where you're like, they'll just be better by attrition.
I understand, but you're not comparing to other teams when you're trying to get better yourself in your own building. And I think them being able to get better at the left spot, yes, they made it to the Super Bowl last year amidst all the problems. But why not try to make it better and not just say, well, we don't need to draft an offensive lineman because, we still made it to the Super Bowl and just bank on that.
Not in the first
same
round.
Similar thing happening again.
I think they shouldn't draft one in the first round, but I will be stunned if across their, what is it now, 8 picks that they have, that they don't draft an offensive lineman at some point. You can always use O-line depth, always.
It is notable, too, in this mock that Walter Nolan was selected by the Eagles the pick after. Which, again, would be
another
outstanding pick by the Eagles. It makes the defense only even better.
I guess the way I view it is, if they bring somebody in, it's generally speaking a good, that's not a bad way of finding a guard. If we were talking about quarterback, Drew, I think I'd probably agree. Finding a bad way to find a guard is not failed left tackle from last year goes against fourth round pick. That is exactly how they found Trey Smith. So, part of it is, he was in a camp battle with, was it Niang? Is that he was in a battle with?
Trey Smith
going
way back?
Who was Trey Smith in the battle? Some vet, some random vet. No, it wasn't Niang. Who was he in a battle with at right guard? Text, I don't remember. 913-586-7965. He was in a battle with some underperforming guard. He came in as a six. That guy got dinged up. Trey Smith never gave the job back away. And then he was the starting right guard. It's a not crazy way to find a starting guard. That's all.
So I think it's interesting because last year, obviously, they didn't take a tackle in the first round and they took Kingsley and everything like that. But this year, there's more of a need maybe for defensive line, as we've talked about. But I think if I were the Chiefs, I would just be sick and tired of having to just put a Band-Aid over the position forever. Yes, it has worked, but we're at the point now where Jalen Moore is going to be the guy. That's a 2-year contract, if I remember right. If he's okay or it doesn't work out well, you're going to have to draft one next year anyways to try to.
But it's a bad year,
to get
right?
Ahead of, that's what I'm saying is that it's like you're trying to continuously put the Band-Aid on where if you can get somebody who you feel like in the first round can at least solidify the left side in general, help out the left tackle a little bit, where we don't know if Kingsley can do that at left guard, and let's say Jalen Moore struggles, that whole left side is going to be a problem. Why not draft the guy that you think is going to help your line out for the long term where you don't have to address that position, period, in the future for the next 2, 3, 4 years?
It was after Kyle Long got hurt, who they had signed to a deal to play there. He then was expected to battle for the starting spot with LDT, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
The doctor.
And Trey Smith won. It's not LDT was not a failed tackle, in fairness. He was kind of meant to be on that side, but I don't know. I get it, Drew. The generalization you're making, I guess, is what you could say about almost anyone's offseason. It's just whether or not I like the plan. Cause we could say, is paying, T. Higgins and Jamar Chase the right decision. Well, if it doesn't work, then we're going to crush them.
Of course,
for it not being the right decision. I'm just saying this is a pretty good way to go about guard. If they take a guy in the third round and they say, hey, you're in a battle with Kingsley. May the best man win. May the odds be ever in your favor, and good luck. I don't hate that strategy. I feel like that ends up being a cream rises to the top situation. Well, they find a guy who can play.
And I'm with you guys. They need to draft a defensive lineman, I think, in the first round. It makes too much sense for them to get a high-quality guy.
If they want to draft a guard in the second round even, I'm cool with that. That's fine. Yeah. But first round, right now, I would lean defensive line. Except since they've brought in, Pennell, and they've brought back Charles Omenihu as well, Since we last had this conversation, specifically the defensive line, I don't think there's the same urgency to spend the first round pick there. I do agree that they have a lot of flexibility now in round one to go attack us to any position. Like if there is a surprise player that falls to them at 31, they never thought was going to be there. I wouldn't hate that. But if you were just right now talking positional preference, guard would not be one. It would not be two. It'd probably be three or four at least on my list.
Behind running back.
It would
back,
be behind
D-line.
In the first round, it would be behind defensive tackle.
Round, yeah.
It'd be behind defensive tackle, offensive tackle. So like even a guy like Simmons.
I would argue
wide receiver,
I would even
corner.
Argue corner. And for the first round, yes.
For the first round, it'd probably be like fifth. I don't know. It'd be ahead of running back, and it'd be ahead of linebacker and safety, but it would be below all the other important positions.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.